last few weeks at the Free called My Next Step. And we've been encouraging every one of us to ask ourselves this question: what's my next step when it comes to my relationship with God? What is it that he wants me to do? And the premise for this whole series has been that we believe wherever you're at on your journey with God, if you're just starting out, even if you're here for the first time tonight and you found yourself in church tonight, and this isn't something that you'd normally do, or if you've been a Christian for, you know, decades and decades, there is always a next step that you can take in your relationship with God. And if you've missed any of this series, I encourage you to go back onto our website and download some of the talks and catch up with what we've been looking at. And what we've been looking at today is my next step is to grow in my relationships. And we've been asking ourselves this question all day: what are the next steps that God wants me to take in my relationship with other people? How can I build stronger relationships? Because, you know, the truth is, and I said this morning, we're stuck with each other. You know, you might want to look around, that might please you, that might deeply concern you. But we're stuck with each other. Because do you know what? God's created you to do relationships with other people. Whether that's in church, if it's in your family, if it's in your workplace, where you live. God's created us to do relationships with other people. Especially in the family of God. You know, there's this great picture that's painted in the Bible of the family of God. Of God's family being the body of Christ. And Paul, in one of his letters to a church in Corinth, you know, he says we're all parts of this body. We're all different parts of this body. Some of us are a foot. Some of us are an ear. Some of us are an eye. Some of us are a hand. You know, you might be sitting next to a foot this evening as part of the body of Christ. But we're all different parts of the body. And Paul says, you know what? We can't say, I don't want that part to be part of the body. Nor can we say, I don't want to be part of the body. We're all intimately joined together. And that requires us to do relationships with each other, because a foot is very different to an eye. You know, and an ear is very different to a little finger. And we all see things differently. And we all view life differently. And so one of the things God calls us to do is to grow in our relationships with each other. And what I'd love you to do is to, if you've got your Bibles there, is to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Because what I did this morning was we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. And I did 3 points this morning. And I'm going to do 12 points this evening. I'm going to do 2 points this evening just to finish off these verses. So if you want to hear the first part, you need to go back and have a listen to this morning. And if you were here this morning and you're here tonight to hear the second point, well done. Lots of Jesus points for you. You are the holiest people. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25. It's on page 1175 in the church Bibles. It says this: therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we're going to pick up from verse 29 this evening, and we're going to think about 2 points toward, and as we finish off this chapter. Matt, what we're going to do is we're going to skip forward a little bit. And the first slide we're going to put up, because my first point this evening is, I must be an encourager, not a criticizer. There you go. I must be an encourager. If we want to grow in our relationships, we need to be people who encourage and not criticize. And if you look from verse 29 and through to 31, there is so much there about how we talk. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, if we think about growing and growing to be more Christ-like and growing in our spiritual walk, if we want to assess how we're doing in that, if you want to assess how you're doing spiritually, listen to how you speak and how you talk to others. That will be a great indication of how you're doing on the inside. If you're finding that actually stuff's coming out of your mouth and stuff that cuts people down and tears people down is coming out of your mouth, that says something about what's on the inside. If you find actually that the words that come out of your mouth are encouraging to other people and are building others up, that is also a sign of what is going on the inside. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12, 34. Jesus says this, he says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Interesting idea, isn't it? That out of the overflow of our hearts, the mouth speaks. That means that actually all our words don't start in our heads, don't start in our brains all the time. Actually, they start in the heart of who we are. They start in our soul. They start in the middle of who we are. In Proverbs 4, it says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. All of our words start in our heart. I think that's incredibly challenging. Above all, you think of all the things God might want us to do and that he might be calling us to do. It says in Proverbs 4, above all of it, guard your heart. Take care of what's going on inside of ourselves. Because everything we do, including our words, flow from our hearts. What comes out of your mouth shows the condition of your heart. You know, Jesus' brother called James, and in the book of the Bible that he wrote, he says that everyone struggles, that all of us struggle with communication and speaking to each other. It's not just one or two of us. He says all of us do. He says, listen, you've got this really powerful thing in your head. It's called your tongue. And he says it's only small, but it can do incredible things for good and not so good. He compares it to the rudder of a ship and says, you know, think how small that is compared to how big a ship is. He says, and it can steer it. He says, actually, your tongue, how we speak, can steer where we go in life. The word that Paul uses here in verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. This word unwholesome, when the original word that Paul used in the Greek here is closer to being rotten or to being noxious. And he says, don't let any rotten stuff come out of your mouth. Don't let any noxious things come out of your mouth. You know, I've sat next to people sometimes on trains and buses who've got quite bad breath, and that seems rotten and noxious. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the words. Because your words can do that, can't they? I suspect we've all had, you know, experience of that. When someone said something to us, someone's been written about us maybe, or texted to us, or put online, said directly to our faces, and he's like, it rots. Something about it starts to rot us. It starts to make us feel not so good. Our words, your words, my words, can rot our relationships. So when we think about our next step is to grow our relationships, we've got to be so careful about how we speak. Those sarcastic words, those critical words, those demeaning words, those dismissing, the way we talk people, talk down to people, can all rot our relationships. Now Paul says, and no, this kind of talk has no place in Jesus' new family. At the start of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, you know, I want you to, in verse 22, he says, put off your old way of life and put on the new way of life. And Paul's saying, put off some of that way that you talk. Think about how you speak. Put it out of your life. Get rid of it and put inside of you good things, so that good things start to come out of your mouth. You know, some of us here tonight, we've got the gift of criticism. Yeah, we think it's a gift because we love giving we've got the gift of criticism. We think it's a gift because we love giving advice to other people. And we love coming along and saying, have you thought about doing this? Have you thought about doing this? Have you thought about doing this? Have you met those people? I've always got something to say about what we're doing. And there's nothing wrong with giving advice to people. But if 90% of what we say is pointing out someone's flaws, or is pointing out what they could do better, or how they should be doing it, it's a problem. It's a problem because it's going to rot that relationship. It's going to harm that relationship. You know, anything critical that we say needs to be and must be balanced with praise. The majority of what we say to people must be encouraging and building them up. There's a fascinating group in America who study communication and how people speak to each other. They're called the Gottman Institute. And they're fascinating. They've taken time out to look at how people talk to each other and how and what that does to relationships. They're fascinating. Go onto their website. Have a look at what they do. You know, and they found out this just by studying the way they speak. They said, on average, the average person, this was done in America, but I guess we can kind of look at it for our country as well. But they say for every one positive statement that people hear, they say we hear 6 negative statements. Incredible. For every one positive thing we hear, most of us will hear 6 negative things said. What do you think that does to relationships? What do you think that does to individuals? What do you think that does to people? It's not good. It rots and it eats away and it takes away from people. They've also looked at healthy relationships, what they would see as healthy and good and happy relationships. And they found it almost completely reverses. They say in a really healthy relationship, they say people tend to hear 5 positive things for every 1 negative. Let's choose to be one of the 5. Let's choose to be people that say those positive things to people. If you know, actually deep down, do you know what? I think I've got the gift of criticism. I tend to be pointing out flaws in people. Make a decision. My next step needs to be to change that, to become more positive. Isn't this what Paul is saying here? He says, say what only is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So get rid of bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Isn't that what he's saying? Choose which side you want to be on. Choose to be one of those 5 positive statements. Make it 6. Knock yourselves out. Don't be held by the number 5. Keep going. Just be positive. Actually build and encourage other people. You know, the Gottman Institute also have identified, and this is a scary thing, they say they can identify with an accuracy of 90% those married couples who will get divorced just by listening and observing how they speak to each other. By 90%, they think they can pick out those people who will get divorced, because they say the biggest cause of divorce is negative and unhealthy communication. You know, the biggest form of anything breaking relationships is that negative and unhealthy communication. There's a little video where they identify what those 4 things are that can destroy a relationship. Which is fascinating, isn't it? You know, these guys, they've studied that. And there's a next slide which just sort of summarizes that. I love it. The 4 horsemen, because they destroy, they bring an end to a relationship. And they're just there, you know, and maybe we'll put that up during the cake break in a minute, just so you can have a look. But just really kind of practical ways to change how we speak. You know, and for us as well, we say we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us, and of God and His power to help us to be that positive stuff on the right hand side. I think that's fascinating. Now, the Holy Spirit for us is, for me, is the filter for our speech. If you know that actually you're somebody who is a criticizer, and who's negative towards people. You've got that tendency to do that when you speak. The Holy Spirit is there to filter how we speak. We need a filter, don't we? Now, a couple of years ago, probably 2 or 3 years ago, actually, I was out with our youngest son, Ben. He must have been 3 or 4 at the time. And I was out shopping with him. We went into this little shop, and it was just the two of us and the shopkeeper. And we were there, and the shopkeeper was helping get something down from the shelf for us. And he was packing our bag for us. And there was nobody else there. And Ben looks up at me, and he says, "Dad," I say, "Yeah, Ben." He goes, "He's a very fat man." And just pointed at this guy. Do you ever have those moments where you just want the ground to swallow you up? And you know, he said it loud enough. The guy heard. I heard. There was nobody else in the shop. We couldn't blame it on anybody else. And I'd love to tell you that I kind of sort of mended that and kind of apologized. And my answer to that was just to pretend it hadn't happened and just to stand there very awkwardly. You know, my son needs a filter. We need a filter, don't we? And the Holy Spirit is our filter. When that stuff comes into our heads, "I want to say this," Holy Spirit kicks, "But I won't." "But I won't." We can justify so often, can't we, the things that we say. "I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to point them in the right direction." If that's the majority of what you say, you're a criticizer, you're not an encourager. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you to make good decisions. You know, I love how it says here in verse 29, just have a look at this before we go for a break. It says, "Don't let any unwholesome, rotten talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." According to their needs. You know, we can't just talk to everybody the same way. Can we? Some of us make the excuse and say, "Well, that's just who I am. They can take me or leave me. This is the way I speak. I'm like this. I'm straight to the point. I'm direct. That's who I am." This verse tells us we can't be like that, because we have to talk to others. We have to build others up according to their needs. That means we've got to weigh up a situation. We've got to weigh up who we're talking to, what's going on in their lives, who they are, what's good for them, what do they need at that moment. It means we've got to be sensitive. And look and say, "What is best according to this person's need? What do they need to hear me say at this time?" And if that person is beaten up and downtrodden by the way that people talk, be the person who lifts them up. That's how your relationships will grow. That's how we encourage one another, build them up, and how we're going to grow in our relationships with other people. That's fascinating, according to their needs. Right. We're going to take a break and have 5 or 10 minutes. Is there sandwiches? There are sandwiches out tonight and other cakes, and there's tea and there's coffee on either side. And then we're going to come back and do the last verse or two of this passage. Okay. And just to finish this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, the last point we're going to look at for growing our relationships is in verse 32. And it says this: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So our final point this evening is that if we want to grow in our relationships, we must practice forgiveness and not bitterness. We must practice forgiveness and not bitterness. You know, and it's looking at that verse, we look at it and say, "Well, that's challenging," because it says, you know, that we've got to forgive each other. And that's a challenge. But then the next part of that sentence just kind of, it's the double whammy, isn't it? Because it says, "Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you." How much has God forgiven you? Everything. everything. 100%, totally everything. Man, that's challenging, isn't it? Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. Forgiving each other totally, 100%. That's got to be a part of growing our relationships with each other. Rather than being people who are bitter, who hold on to things, actually releasing each other. So here's something I just want you to talk to each other. If you're next to someone tonight, or if you'd rather think about it on your own. But just have a chat about this for literally 30 seconds. What does it mean to forgive someone? When we read that here, what does it mean? How would you describe that? Just talk to the person next to you. Okay. It's really not long enough, but I'm conscious of the time. So let's just call some words out or some phrases out, sentences. What does it mean to forgive someone? We'll put them up on the board.
To be free.
Okay, to be free. Great. Because that's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, it's when we forgive someone, we think actually we're freeing them, and we are. But actually, it's for us to be free as well of that feeling, isn't it? Great. Good. What else?
Understand what they're going through.
Understanding. Yep. Go on, another one. Sorry? Handing it over to God. Good.
Compassion.
Oh, that's tough, isn't it? Absolutely. I mean, that's talk about forgive others as God forgave you. God forgave us, didn't he? Forgives us. Gave up his son so that we can be forgiven. There's no debt. We can't repay that, can we? Healing.
Listening.
Good. Great. It's interesting, isn't it? It's just some of the things, a couple of the things I thought of were sort of cancelling of debt. When someone hurts us, we think, well, I'm gonna get back at them. I'm gonna make them feel what I've felt on this, man. You know, they're gonna pay for this. But actually, when we choose to forgive, we cancel that debt. And for me as well, what does it mean to forgive someone? It also means it's not saying what they did was right. When we choose to forgive, we're not saying, well, actually, what they did, it doesn't matter. Or it's okay now. It's not. What they did hurt us. What they did might have really cut deep. And when we forgive them, we're not saying, well, that doesn't matter. We're saying, actually, I choose to be free. You know, I choose to have healing. I choose to understand. I choose to hand it over to God. It's tough. It's tough, and what Paul writes here about forgiving each other is not easy. And for so many of us, you know, we'll find ourselves in a situation, I can't forgive. I can't forgive. But that's what's really important, I think, when we choose to be forgivers and not to be people who are full of bitterness, that actually we realise that forgiveness starts with faith. Actually, to choose to forgive someone starts with a step of faith. No, it's faith, first of all, and we'll put these up, Matt. It's faith to know that God knows what's happened. And that's so important, isn't it? When someone's hurt us, when someone's caused us pain, actually, a step of faith, I believe God's seen this. And that he knows what's happened. That's really important, isn't it? When we're hurting, and when we're in pain, to actually someone's noticed that and that they've seen it. and that it matters and that it's not okay what happened to us. Faith to say actually God knows what's happened. And with that as well comes the notion that actually God's going to deal with this as well. It's not down to me to deal with this person. Actually, I believe in a God who is right and is just. And actually he will deal with that person. Faith to believe that God's going to help us to forgive as well. That this isn't something we have to do on our own or a journey we have to make on our own. But actually God's going to go on that journey with us. And that he's going to empower us by his Spirit to help us to make the right decision to forgive. And maybe that's every day, an ongoing thing. But also faith to believe that you've been forgiven by God first. What does Paul write? Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's that reminder, isn't it? When we choose to forgive people, when we choose to make that journey of forgiveness, to remind ourselves, actually, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. I've got some wrong. I had a huge debt to be repaid. But God chose to do this first. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. And believe me, it's going to cost him a lot more than it's going to cost us to make that journey of forgiveness. Forgiveness is key to every healthy relationship. Because isn't this the truth, that every relationship is going to cause us some pain and is going to ask us to forgive at some point? I love this quote, that relationships are continual acts of forgiveness. Relationships are continual. Should we put that up, Matt? Relationships are continual acts of forgiveness. That we do, that actually, if we're going to choose to have relationships with each other, whether that's in church, at home, at work, with your mates, actually, you're going to continually be choosing to forgive those people. We do it every day. Forgiveness doesn't mean that it's not going to hurt anymore. It might still hurt. We might still feel that pain. But forgiveness is choosing not to be bitter. It might still hurt. It might still cause us pain. But forgiveness is the absence of bitterness. And bitterness, like unwholesome talk, it will rot and it will eat away at us if we let it fester. Forgiveness is the absence of bitterness, and it says, what you did hurt me, but I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to pray for you. What you did hurt me, but I'm going to bless you. What you did hurt me, but if people mention your name, I'm not going to slag you off or have a go at you behind your back. I'm going to speak well of you. Forgiveness is saying, actually, if I hear that things aren't going well for you, I'm not secretly going to be happy and do a little fist pump about it. But actually, I'm going to reach out and try and help you if things aren't going well. Forgiveness is the absence of bitterness. It's not the absence of pain, but it's the absence of bitterness. And it's hugely challenging. No, for some of us, as I've gone through today, especially for those of us who are here this morning, we've looked at these five different things, and we thought, you know what, that kind of characterises where I'm at. That kind of sums up some of my relationships at the moment, that we're struggling in those areas. If we put the next slide up, Matt. Now, this morning, we looked at being honest over deception. And for some of us, we know that we've got this habit to deceive and to pull the wool over people's eyes. For some of us, we know that actually we're not so peaceful. We hold grudges and we're angry with other people. For some of us, we know that actually we have a tendency towards selfishness rather selflessness and generosity. And this evening, for some of us, we know, do you know what? Actually, yeah, it's criticism. I can be a critical person. I'm not so encouraging when it comes to other people. For some of us, we know actually we're holding on to bitterness rather than being a forgiver. But the good news is, The good news is God wants to change all that. And he can change all that. I love this. There's a verse right in the middle of what we read tonight that where Paul's talking about our relationships. And he says, listen, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by getting your relationships wrong. And we can look at that and go, oh man, you know, am I in danger of grieving the Holy Spirit? Am I in danger of it? And the truth is, do you know what? What that shows us is that our relationships matter to God. They matter to the Holy Spirit. And he wants to put joy in our lives. He wants to help us in these relationships. And so the Holy Spirit tonight, we're going to pray together and we're going to worship for a little bit. Holy Spirit can actually grow this fruit in our lives, the fruit of honesty and peace and generosity and encouragement and forgiveness, where we can actually choose those things and choose to grow in those areas.